turn your Bibles, and Brother Sam will come and sing for us in just a moment. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And I made comment the other day, and it won't be today, but I made comment the other day about having a worry tray at home. I think some folks were surprised and wonder how that worked. I gave a little illustration. That's going to come next week. But today we are going to talk a little bit about worry with the topic of the question or the phrase, why worry when God is in control? Why worry when God is in control? And I think the biggest problem we have is letting go and letting God. So we'll talk about that this morning. So let's look at Philippians chapter 4. We'll read verses 4 through 9, and Brother Sam will come and sing for us. Philippians chapter 4, and beginning in verse number 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. If you want to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 10, we'll also be there in just a few moments. It'll save us some time that you don't have to turn there. And I have a bit of a lengthy introduction today with only one point, but two pre-points in my introduction. And we'll pick up the other two points next week. But I want to encourage you, and let's just be honest. Let's all be honest. And let's not worry about what people may think or not think. But come on, help me out. Have you not ever worried in your life? Maybe over the last week, you know, over the last few days. You know, we are not superhuman. We are to be Christ-like, but we do not live above sin. And we're going to worry. The problem is with worry is what we do with it. As I illustrated last week, I put mine on my worry tray. We had that little worry tray over here for me, and I'll try to remember to bring that in next week when I preach a little further on this and try to leave it there. But sometimes we have a problem with letting go and letting the Lord take care of it. So I hope to be a blessing to you today and next week and maybe a third week. We'll just see how it develops as we go. But here's what we read in our text, and let's just be honest. If I wasn't a believer, I would be a nervous wreck. I just don't know how the world does and survives without Christ. I do worry because I'm human. And I'm not perfect, but I'm forgiven. Amen? And we can give it to the Lord. And I have a time sometime where I have my little pity party and I worry and I come to my senses and say, you know what? Man, all this energy, I'm just wasting this and I could be doing something more productive and just try to give it to the Lord. See, many of us spend a lot of energy, as I mentioned, on worry. You know, before COVID-19 virus or the pandemic or the plandemic, and wokeness and cancel culture, Americans worried about different things than they do today. For example, before COVID or pre-COVID, the worried about money, we worried about debt, and we worried about finances. In the survival mode, we worried about war, we worried about terrorism, we worried about natural disasters. In the social issue category, we worried about abortion or murder, and we worried about hunger and maybe even a new pastor. Now, today, Americans still worry about similar things and more. In the category of money, we'll look again. We worry about debt. We worry about finances. We worry about inflation. Under the survival area, if you want to go to the next slide, we have in mind in survival, we think of China, terrorism, the Middle East, Ukraine. And under the social issues, it's more of social media with technology, school shootings, and gender identity. I mean, how the world has changed over the last few years, but there's one thing that hasn't changed. We still worry. Statistics say that women tend to worry at twice the rate that men worry. Probably because men tend not to worry very long because maybe we have no idea what's going on today, tomorrow, or even next week. So we don't have as much to worry about. But needless to say, statistics say ladies, women worry at a rate of 40% higher than men. Now, let me ask this morning, are you a worrier, one who worries, or one who comforts those who worry? Maybe some of you are both at one time or another. And maybe sometimes we're both, that we try to encourage someone else who is worrying while we worry, but eventually it helps us to get out of our worry by comforting someone else. See, if worry is a part of our lives, the question is, does God care about your worries? And of course, the answer is, of course he does. So we'll look at two things. Look at verse number 6 in our passage, Philippians 4. Just notice the phrase, be careful for nothing. Philippians 4, 6. Be careful for nothing. See, it is referring to concentrating on something, preoccupied, or overtaxing the mind. There in Luke, as I told you to put your finger in, let's look at that. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38, and we'll see a little further in that area. Luke 10 and verse 38. Now it came to pass, and remember, we're considering this about being careful for nothing, that we're preoccupied, overtaxing the mind. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a village, a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she may help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but the one thing is needful. And Mary have chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. That being careful for nothing. You see, Mary is a worshiper and Martha is a worker. And sometimes that work is compensation for worry. Amen? We get worried, we get overwhelmed. We say, well, I got to go find something to do. I got to find something to take this off my mind. And sometimes the best thing to do is not worry about doing and doing and doing, but maybe like Mary sitting at the feet of Christ, open our Bible, having a time of prayer and say, Lord, help me through this process of worry, instead of handing it off or trying to push it back by doing manual labor. You see, we are not designed to handle all of our problems. Hello? We are not prepared. We are not coped or equipped to do that. When we attempt to do so, we are taking on the role of master of the universe. We are taking on the role of the Lord himself. He has not designed us to handle all of our problems, though we can give them to him and at times help others with their problems, but the common ingredient is going to him. Friends, we again are not designed to handle all of our personal problems. The next thing here in our introduction, not only be careful for nothing, but the next part there, take no thought. This phrase, take no thought, and we'll look at in Matthew 6:25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet your for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body raiment? See, that thought, that phrase, take no thought, it means to be divided in your mind, to be thinking about or struggling with two things at the same time. And I'm not referring to raising two toddlers and trying to keep them, but you know what I'm talking about. Having two thoughts, two concerns, two worries, being overwhelmed. Luke 12 and verse 22, we see that thought, that phrase again, take no thought. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. You see, too much worry will bring negative thoughts and lead to doubting God and his provisions and his protection. We all have different ways of worrying. I have a young lady in my life that has a tendency sometimes to worry. I'm glad we have cell phones today. I left this morning to come to church. My wife says, send my love. Hello, Michelle loves you. Princess loves you. And to have a good day and enjoy the service. But she says, text me when you get there. Now, if I don't text her when I get here, she has me out there on I-10 in a ditch in an accident. Because that tends to worry, again, our ladies. But then again, we have to ask ourselves, are we going to allow that mind, our minds to go there? Are we going to worry? Are we going to take too much worry and allow negative thoughts to come in our life? Again, those lead to doubting God and his provision and his protection. Now, do you know what worry beads are? Everybody heard or seen worry beads? They are evolved in ancient Greece from prayer beads. Today they have no religious significance at all. It's a move from prayer to worry and worry to fear. Why sit down and go through a ritual, go through worry beads, push them around, or whatever else you may do in a habit of worry, when you could go directly to the source and say, Lord, help me. In other words, take no thought. Don't allow these things. Be careful for nothing. Lord, I'm going to go straight to the source. I'm going to deal with this, take care of this, and allow you to help me through this problem that I'm going for. Friends, if this is the best remedy that we can come up with is worry beads that we can come up with, then we are in real trouble. Think about that for a moment. Hey, folks, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's coming the next day or next week or what's going to take place in America, in the Middle East, in the southern border. But I do know this. My God is in control. And I want to do my best. I don't always do it. Hey, I worry too. But I also try to remind myself. And I'm fortunate to have a wife, and I'm fortunate to have some men and some friends here in our church that once in a while call up and say, preacher, I heard you were having a rough day. And I tell you what, they can't see me on the other end, but I've got a grin from one ear to the other just knowing that they love me and they care. And that's a big boost. And dear friends, we are going to worry, but what are we going to do with it when we worry? See, the best advice I can give you is to remember that, as I mentioned, that God is in control. He is our creator. He is in complete control. I've alluded to this passage of scripture, so I looked it up to use this morning. Job chapter 26 and verse 7. He stretcheth out the north over the empty place and hangeth the earth upon nothing. Oh, wow! Nothing. If he is in such control and he reached out and he hung the world on nothing, dear friends, he knows what's going on in my life. And you've heard me say before, has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? He knows. And dear friends, that we need to look what the scripture says and remind us that we are to be careful for nothing. We're to take no thought, just realizing, Lord, you're in control. I may not like the outcome. I may be unsure of the outcome, but I know that you are with me because you are my God and I am your child, so I will proceed. See, our strength from worry is not found in the government, a bottle of pills, or worry beads. It is found in Him. It is found in Him. Every Christian can live a life that is worry free. Now, let me kind of correct myself there. We can live a life that worry is short lived. Now, because we are human, we are at times are going to worry. But how do we take that aspect of what I used to worry about, which used to send me spinning, those things that really concerned me, how can I get a leash on that? How can I lasso that to where it's short-lived? I'm glad you asked. Please allow me to share with you this morning one of three things from our text that will help us to overcome, to have victory, or to conquer worry in our lives. You ready? Number one, develop a consistent prayer life. It's that easy. Develop a consistent prayer life. We'll look at just at that today, and we'll look at a few more tomorrow. But let's look again in our text and read verse number 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Dear friends, if we get to the point and go back and allow ourselves to be just like little kids, when a child stumps his toe and gets hurt, what's the first thing they do? Mom, Dad, what? They're going to the source. The one that can kiss that boo-boo, put a little medicine on it, and make it all the better. But we allow it to run through our mind, and we panic that the sky is falling. We get into the chicken little syndrome when worry creeps in instead of going right to the source. If my kids and my grandkids have so much confidence when they get hurt that they run to Papaw or to Grams, and we were learning real quick with our grandchildren, it depends on what it is and who did it on who they go to. Because, see, Papaw was like this. My sister hit me. I'm about to go, well, go hit her back. And then I got to run her down and get her before she does it. Where Grams will call them all in and sit down and talk with them. Dear friends, why go to a source or to a place that's not likely to help you when we can go to the one that is the source of all of our problems that can control them and help them? Worry about nothing and pray about everything. Develop a consistent prayer life. Dear friends, when I mean consistent, I mean not just when things are difficult. See, some of us want to praise God when things are going well. But can we praise God when we smash our finger with a hammer? Can we still praise God when something doesn't go our way? We should, but also in a time of prayer. The communion and consistent prayer with God is not just because we have a need or because we have a problem or because we're worrying. It should be a pattern of a relationship that we have because we love Him and we know that He loves us. Develop a consistent prayer life. See, we know a lot more about prayer than praying. Think about that for a moment. We know about it, but how much practice do we have? See, we worry because we don't pray. We struggle with the thoughts, worry, pray, worry, pray, worry, pray. Then through the struggle, we end up worrying more and more and become more stressed instead of trusting God. You see, prayer leads to peace. Look at verse number 7 here in our text. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You're worrying. Things are on your mind. You're having a panic attack. You feel overwhelmed. Lord, what am I going to do? Pray. Because the Bible says that it leads to peace. See, learn this phrase and put it to use daily. Worry about nothing and pray about everything. Worry about nothing and pray about everything. Well, preacher, what if I forget and I slip into worry? Then remind yourself to stop it and pray. It's that simple. But sometimes I wonder if we maybe enjoy worrying a little bit too much. Ain't got nothing else to do. Might as well wring my hands and stress and worry all day. Now, who wants to do that? Well, what a way to ruin a day off for a Monday morning. Develop a consistent prayer life. Pew Research. Well, let me back up. Worry about nothing and pray about everything. Here's the problem. Usually, we worry about everything and pray about nothing. Dilla Research. Pew Research says that 22% of all Americans pray weekly or monthly. 68% of all Americans pray at least once a day. So there is a group, and by the way, that has increased from pre-pandemic, a few years ago, where that number was much lower than that. Among 6 to 50% of Americans that claim to be atheist, agnostic, nearly 25% of those still pray in times of crisis. My question is, who are they praying to? They're not sure. They don't believe. What I'm saying is during a time of crisis, people respond differently. Maybe there is a God. Maybe I should talk to Him. Dear friends, we know that there is. We know what He's done for us, and therefore we should go directly to Him. This 68% of all Americans pray at least once a day. Well, I wonder, I couldn't find the statistics and how you'd figure it out on how many believers, followers of Christ, actually pray every day. I trust that we do, and it's not just over a meal. But we pray because we are developing a consistent prayer life. You see, the average Christian does not get serious about his or her prayer life until they reach their 30s. Maybe they have something to do with maybe having kids that are reaching preteen and teen years. I don't know. But folks, I think that we should teach our children, our grandchildren, we ourselves should get a habit of developing a prayer life as early as possible. Encourage them to pray before they eat. Encourage them to pray before they go to bed. Encourage them to pray before they go to school or go to work or whatever age group your children or your grandchildren are in. Develop a prayer life. Develop a consistent prayer life and teach those around you by example. Folks, you'll do more than you realize for your children, your grandchildren in person or even on the phone, via a video call, whatever it may be, to allow them to see you and hear you talking to God with them before you hang up or while you're talking. Again, the average Christian does not get serious about his or her prayer life until they reach their 30s. See, it is much easier and less stressful to develop a consistent prayer life than it is to worry about that which we cannot fix or which we cannot solve. There are some things that God just wants us to endure. There are some things that God just wants us and is going to allow us to go through. I'm just going to trust him and turn it over to him. I'm going to develop and keep my consistent prayer life. And if you have a prayer life, let me ask you, is it consistent? And if it's not consistent, let me encourage you to make it consistent. Just make it a part of your life. Now, I hate to do this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. It's 11 o'clock. Now, I'm getting ready to hit my conclusion and we'll be done. I got up this morning and I had coffee and I had a glass of water, but I didn't eat breakfast yet. Just running behind, didn't have the time. And my stomach is about to rub a blister on my backbone. I'm ready to eat. But you know, there's some times that I wish that my mind and my soul reflected the same way when I didn't pray that morning. You know, I will rely and depend upon the Holy Spirit to remind me, but I wish there were some ways that I could sometimes would get withdrawals of not talking to God. That because my prayer life is so consistent, so regular, so routine, every morning, every day, every evening, however your schedule and work schedule allow it, but it is so consistent that you just don't want to miss it. I mean, we've got smartphones. We make appointments. This past week, I made an appointment that I need to meet with somebody in October, put down the time and the date, gave a 1 week reminder and a 2 hour reminder. And when that 1 week reminder gets here, I change it and go back and correct it and put it to 2 day. I keep up because that appointment is important to me. Folks, we need to make a daily appointment to God and realize how important that it is. That appointment, that consistent prayer life, will protect us from worry. It will protect us from going down that road of discouragement that leads to fear that causes a lot of other problems. Develop a Christian prayer life. That is the answer to our worries, is developing a consistent prayer life and to keep it moving. Notice four words, and here in a few more minutes we'll be finished, in verse number 6. Those words are prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, and request. Now, you might want to circle those in your Bible. If you do that, I have those underlined and circled in my Bible. Paul uses these four different words to summarize the concept of what to do in every situation. We have the tendency of trying to solve our own problems instead of praying and letting God take care of them for us through prayer. So let me close with these thoughts. Prayer has a two-sided component. I want you to notice that: listening, speaking, hearing, but asking. That word asking, referring to prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. That's asking is realizing there is someone, being God, listening and answering. My little granddaughter came to me yesterday because she closed the door on her finger. Grams was in the other room sitting in her chair, and Thea ran to Papaw. Let me tell you something. Boy, that made me feel special because Grams was in the other room. She showed me that little place on her hand. I held her hand, and I kissed it, and I talked with her and assured her that it would be fine. She came in the room crying, and she left the room smiling, knowing that it was going to get better. Not today, but it was going to get better. Wouldn't it be something we can have that same approach when we talk to God? The same assurance that we can say amen and walk away knowing that everything's going to be fine. That's asking, realizing there is someone, that being God, listening and answering. And then the second thing, supplication. Sharing with God our problems with intensity. In other words, begging or pleading. Realizing only God can meet that need. How do we approach him when we ask? Do we go with much supplication and pleading with the Lord, knowing and sharing our deepest need, that knowing that he will answer? You see, he knows our needs better than we do. And then we see request. That is your agenda in prayer, making your requests, your needs known to God. And then the other end of that is thanksgiving. There's asking, there's supplication, there's requests, and then there's thanksgiving. The other side of worship. The faith side of worship that truly believes God is going to do for you what you're asking him. Thanking God in advance. I held little Thea's hand, and there was a little blood blister that popped up in the lower portion of her index finger. And I kissed it, and I teased her, as I always tell my granddaughters, it'll get better before you get married. We talked a few moments, and I told her everything would be all right. If it's still hurting a little while, we'll get you a little bit of ice. And she looked at me, and she smiled real big, and she wiped her tears, and she said, "Thank you, Papaw." And then she took off. She had confidence that, boy, when did we have the same type of faith when we talked to God? Knowing. Thanksgiving, the other side of worship. The faith side of worship that truly believes that God is going to do for you what you are asking Him to do. Thanking God in advance of your supplications, your request, your asking. 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you." Now, as I work and deal with our grandchildren, I'm working so hard and developing that relationship, because this is the closest that we have lived to them in so long, and we're still getting used to each other and loving each other. And Papaw, I think, still is a novelty in some aspects. But my goal is to develop that relationship with them, and not just doing all that I can to help them and saying, "Papaw says it's going to be okay," but help them to realize as they come to a knowledge of understanding that God is in control. God will take care of it. Papaw may be here today, but when he's not, God will take care of it. God will take care of it. And dear friends, we've got to come to the same conclusion in our life. Psalm 55 and verse 22, "Casting thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." Dear friend, if you want to defeat worry, develop a consistent prayer life. And in that prayer life, remember the asking. Remember the supplication. Remember the request. Remember the thanksgiving. So if you want to defeat worry, develop a consistent prayer life. And let me close with this. Plan the time. Locate the place. Discover a way to take your worry to the Lord in prayer. Let me say that again. It's on the screens. Plan the time, so that you can be consistent. Locate the place, your hiding place, your secret place, and discover a way to make it happen and to make it consistent. Every Christian can live a life that is worry-free by trusting God for everything and in every situation. You see, God is either in control or he's not. Let's stand together, heads bowed and eyes closed, and Ms. Marlene will make her way to the piano and begin playing as soon as she is ready. Maybe you're here this morning again with heads bowed and eyes closed. No one's looking around this morning. Why worry when God is in control? Have you planned the time because you have a consistent prayer life? Have you located your secret place, your hiding place, the place that you go to in prayer? Have you went to the way that you have just worked so hard that you discovered a way to take your worries to the Lord no matter what it may be? Folks, even if you're off on the road somewhere, even if you're doing something else, that's my place of prayer, my place of going to the Lord, my retreat might be in my home office at home, but anytime I'm on the road, anytime I'm aware, anytime I set aside, I can go in my mind to the Lord, to his throne, and say, "Lord, help me." Maybe you're here today and you're struggling. I don't need to know the circumstance. I don't need to know the situation. But maybe this morning you just lift your hand up and down and say, "Preacher, pray for me. I've been worrying. I've had some things in my life to overtake me. My mind has led from worry to fear to worry. I see those hands. Preacher, yes, I see those hands. Preacher, pray for me." His hands all over the auditorium. Let me encourage you. Develop a prayer life. Develop a consistent prayer life and take these burdens to the Lord. Father, you saw the hands this morning. You know the hearts and situation of your people. Father, help me to be a source of blessing, a source of encouragement. Lord, help me to encourage the people that you have called me to minister to. Father, you saw the hands and you know the hearts of your people. We pray that you would bless them, encourage them. Father, help them to respond and do the things that you would have them to do. And Father, give them the courage that they need now to respond, whether here, where they stand or here at an altar, just to give it to you, Father. Just hand it over and say, "Lord, I'm tired of carrying it." Lord, bless, I do ask in Jesus' name. Heads are still bowed, eyes are still closed. Our panelists is playing. Do you need to do business with